It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. In just a moment, we'll welcome Jim Roop to the Rick Emerson program. Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero. Tim Riley will be back here in a while with the Ministry of Truth. I have this. This is from the General News, generalnews.com. Going to read you this. This is to make up for some of the unsettling things we were reading on earlier in the day. For example, we had this. Rick, this email says, this is about the Britney thing. It says, please shut up. Your observations about Britney in Paris using the same pole without cleaning it is making me not figuratively but physically gag here at work. Thank you. Welcome to the lunch hour. You dick. That's from Ryan. Well, here's a sweet cleansing sorbet to take the acrid and brackish taste of that story off your palate, sir. The ongoing power outage in the country of Ghana has come at great cost to an all-girls secondary school in Accra. A few days ago, three male students at the University of Ghana, Legon, were caught in an unusual encounter with three female students on the premises of the institution. The Casanova boys who descended from their Legon base were all sons of tutors in the girls' school and had easy access to the compound for an illicit romp. According to a source, you don't really think of Ghana as being a country where things like this happen. According to a source at the school, the young male students who were visiting their fathers at the all-girls school had struck relationships with the female students, and when the school had its turn in the ongoing power outage, the six jumped on the opportunity and indulged shamelessly in sordid sexual activities right behind the school's dining hall. Unfortunately, the couples were caught by a prowling security guard who said to have heard arousing, lusty noises. He described the noises as, quote, end quote, in the darkness near the dining hall. When he tiptoed out to find more, he caught the love scene live. And then there's a thing here about security camera footage, which has suddenly gone missing. So there you go.
So we'll have more updates on that.
As that develops, sir. There you go. You get the Britney Paris image on your mind. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Hello, sir.
Howdy.
What's up with you, brother man?
Not much, but you're right. You don't really think about Ghana as being a place for a story like that.
No, it's true. It's true. I don't. Do they have you out in the middle of this, like the 500th fire that's hit California this year?
Yeah.
Tim Riley was...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, Tim Riley was noting earlier in the program today that it does seem like these fires are sort of... These fires are sort of the polar twins to those tornadoes that only seem to hit trailer parks in Alabama. You know what I mean? Where it's some sort of trailer parks, sort of low-income housing. They must have done something to displease God Almighty at some point in the past because he just destroys them at every given opportunity with hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, and typhoons. And yet, in California, it seems like it's the opposite, where really it's only rich houses that get decimated by these fires. It's like... You know what I mean? It's like the fires instinctively know which houses were designed by I.M. Pei, that they go right after them.
Yeah, that's the way it seems to be anyway. This is Moorpark community, which is in Ventura County, about 30 miles or so north of Los Angeles, is a real nice little bedroom community. I mean, it's some pretty homes here, a couple of great big homes on top of hillsides that are just surrounded by flames. Five of these nice homes have already been destroyed, so... Lord doesn't discriminate when it comes to stuff like that.
Do you find it harder to have sympathy for rich people who have their homes destroyed than poor people?
I don't know. I mean, it's a shame when anybody, that's about it, though. It's too bad, but you can rebuild. But when it happens to poor people, oh, that's too bad. What are you going to do next? Oh, my gosh. You know, it's sort of a different kind of sympathy.
Well, because then they're like, they have to go live in a drainage culvert or something. So that's no good. Hey, I wanted to, just as a side note here, because I know you were on vacation last week?
I took a little time off.
Yeah. All right, a little time off. So I was going to say, man, you missed, it's like as soon as you went out the door, all the stories broke. You missed Snoop Dogg being busted?
Yeah.
You missed the whale at SeaWorld trying to kill a guy?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's...
Well, you know what? That's not true. I mean, I used to work for Marineland, and I know that that happens once in a while. It's really, it's not an attack. If it was really an attack, that guy'd be dead, period, in a matter of seconds. This was a playful thing, man. He's just dragging, he's just bouncing the trainer around like a ball.
What did you do at Marineland?
I was the entertainment director there.
Really?
All the announcing for the shows and all that.
Really? So did you? So you had to get up and get, ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for Trixie the Penguin. All right.
I've actually ridden on a killer whale.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Tell me that there's a picture somewhere of you riding the back of a killer whale.
I'm sure I have several. Yeah.
All right, fantastic.
In the tank with the whales. Yeah, there's all kinds of cool stuff like that.
All right, brother man. Well, I'll let you get back to the fire. I wanted to check in and kind of just see how things were going in your life and if you were ruining the fact that these could. Ed McCarthy, God bless him. You've never heard anything better than Ed McCarthy trying to talk knowingly about Snoop Dogg. Ed, who, I mean, and we just found this out. I know you got to go, but I got to tell you, we're talking to Ed. We found out that Ed McCarthy actually gets off work at 11 o'clock our time. And we're routinely booking him at like 12:30, 1, 1:30. And I didn't realize that when we have him on, he's already been off the clock for 2.5 hours. He's just coming out of the goodness of his heart, sitting at home.
We like you, man.
I appreciate it. It doesn't go unappreciated. I'm just saying I wasn't really familiar. I didn't know that he was off the clock by then. And so, which is great because I got the feeling that when he reports, he's at home with like his socks with like a low brow in one hand, you know, and like the remote control on the other, talking to me on speakerphone. Just sort of bluffing his way through a story about Snoop Doggy Dog.
He's a gin and tonic martini kind of guy. He's not a beer guy.
It's true. Now, are you a beer? Because at some point, I'm telling you this, we are going to bring you to town at some point. We are going to bring you to Portland because the people have begun to demand it. The people of Portland are demanding. It's like how in the Bible they say, the people say, give us Barabbas. The people in Portland are saying, give us Jim Roop.
What, in exchange for Jesus? Is that what that's going on?
I think Laura Caviezel is the Jesus figure here. I'm just guessing. Now, I can't say this definitively, but I do believe, yes, that you are Barabbas, and Laura Caviezel is either Jesus or she's one of those two guys on the side that are hanging up there quarreling about whether or not I am the Savior.
Well, to answer your question, yes, I'm a beer guy. I like Guinness.
Guinness?
I like a beer I can chew.
Now, have you ever been to Portland?
No, sir.
See,
well, yes, I have.
It's a beer town, my friend.
I landed in Portland and drove to Mount St. Helens.
All right, well, see, Angus, so this you got to come through here just so Sarah Dillon can take you on a beer tour of Portland.
Okay.
You'll never walk properly again. Really, it'll decimate you in both body and mind, my friend. So,
well, I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, I hope the fire gets under control down there. We will speak with you later in the week, my friend, and we will talk to you soon. So I hope things work out for you down there.
Anytime, sir.
All right, man. Thank you. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, back from vacation in Los Angeles. All right, let's quickly talk to Jeff. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir. Jeffrey. What? Vagina. Yeah?
I think I heard Sarah.
Uh-huh. And? Hello. Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Oh, man.
Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen, hello.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hi, Clyde.
I know where to go with it. I was trying to make that funny, and I just couldn't. I know where to go with it.
I just imagine some guy sitting there on the road just thinking he's talking to you, saying something really funny and really, you know, very, very intelligent. It just sounds so bad.
Clyde Lewis is here from ClydeLewis.com, Ground Zero Lounge. I have the story, by the way. I thought of you. This is from the New Zimbabwe News.
Okay.
Swear to God, this story just came across the wire. A Zimbabwean man charged with having sex with an underage girl stunned a court by claiming she had, in fact, slept with goblins. John Munkambwe, 29.
That doesn't work for me anymore. I don't know what that is.
Doesn't get you all hot and bothered?
No. I mean, I just don't use that story anymore. I used to... Never mind.
John Munkambwe, 29, is accused of having sex with a 16-year-old girl and impregnating her. The age of consent in Zimbabwe is 18. Appearing before a Binga magistrate...
Bunga.
Before
Bunga Shibaya.
Bing! Needle nose, Ned the head. I sure as heck probably remember you. Appearing before Bing magistrate Stephen next week, Mungambo denies statutory rape and suggested her pregnancy was probably the act of goblins, a local newspaper reported. Prosecutor Bruce, I swear to God this is a real story. Prosecutor Bruce Mafosa told the court that the Mbagwe met the teenager sometime in August last year and they got into a relationship. The girl, who cannot be named, appeared in the courtroom and gave her account. She said she had sex with Mungambo on three occasions before she became pregnant. But when he took the witness stand, Mungambo denied having a relationship or sleeping with the girl. He told the court, quote, I have been tried before in the chief's court, but I have maintained my innocence and I still deny the charges. I have heard it said that she was impregnated by goblins. I certainly don't know her, but goblin sex seems the likely story.
This story sounds familiar to me, kind of like the nativity story, in a way.
Joseph, you weren't here, you're always out of town, and this goblin just kept coming by the house. And I just get so lonely sometimes, and we were drinking all this red wine, and then I woke up, and the goblin was in bed with me, and I want you to know, honey, that I was thinking of you the whole time, and I didn't even enjoy it.
We gotta go to Bethlehem now.
Yeah.
We gotta head out. We gotta run away from the goblin. Come after me.
Prosecutor Mafosa accused Mungambo of telling lies under oath. Zimbabwe is a country steeped in beliefs in the supernatural. The country just recently changed colonial legislation to recognize the existence of witchcraft. So there you go.
Yeah, they just had a story out of Zimbabwe a couple of months ago about naked people falling from heaven and landing on rooftops. I'm not kidding you. I was reading about that. I've talked about it before. They said there were people that were naked that would land on rooftops, and they would say that they were witches from space or witches from the sky.
All right.
So, and a UFO crash in Siberia. That's something that happened recently, too.
Of course it did.
It is. Look it up. It was on the Drudge Report. Got to be true.
Rick, this email says, Kendra Jade has almost also been rumored to be dating Lucas Rossi. You were just telling me this during the break. Kendra Jade says, I feel like a horrible person that it's true. Let's see.
Wasn't he kissing Tommy Lee a while ago?
Yeah.
Lucas Rossi?
I saw Lucas kissing Tommy Lee.
Rick, any chance of Michael Ian Black coming on the show on Friday?
I should write him.
Oh, that's right. He's in town doing whatever it is that he does.
I don't
right?
know. Would you want him on?
No.
No?
Well, what am I going to ask Michael?
I don't know, and I'm afraid he'll be a total snob.
Well, yeah. I mean, the guy just seems like an ass.
He was nice when I talked to him.
You did, because, I don't know, it's because he probably thought you had a gun of some kind. You were just swinging.
No, we had a special connection.
You had a bonding moment.
Yeah. Special connection.
Rick, about Sarah smelling urine. Sometimes when a woman... Did it smell like urine in here?
You know what? I am very sensitive to the smell of urine because I ride the bus. And so...
so do you think... Or am I smelling something that smells kind of like urine?
Well, I don't smell urine yet.
Here's what this email says. Sometimes when a woman smells odors that others don't, it indicates that she is pregnant.
Oh, God.
Maybe it's time for Sarah to see if the test strip turns that most unwelcome shade of blue.
And you know you need to do that.
Irony is that you need to produce urine to do that.
Yes, exactly right.
I really thought about that. Well, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, you can smell it whether you want to or not. Okay. It's not good.
Let's see. Kristen from accounting says...
I get in here. I'm no... We're already talking about urine.
Go ahead. Have to get... Kristen says you have to get Lisa Goddard to come to Portland. Joni and I can share our love. Then she notes it's an innocent love. Don't turn it into something ugly, Rick. For Miss Lisa and I take her into the town, she sounds like our kind of gal. Woo. So there you go. We have a lot of requests actually for that, for both Lisa and Jim Roop to come to town. All right. So what's up with you? You had the thing.
Yeah, we did. We had a seance again and an investigation, and a lot of people showed up to that. In fact, we didn't do the lottery, and the reason why we didn't do the lottery is because there were people coming from Long Beach, California. You don't want to turn people away. You come all the way from Long Beach and say, oh, by the way, we came because we want to do this.
Thank you for coming, but you'll need to leave now.
But we had, in fact, one of them happened to be friends with Scott, and the one guy, he's an atheist, showed up to be the control, I guess, or the person who does not believe or says he's skeptical. I told him he doesn't believe. I mean, I don't like people throwing the word skeptical around if they don't believe. If they don't believe, just tell me you don't believe. You don't have to be skeptical. Just say, I don't don't believe I made my mind up. You're an idiot.
Somebody's getting angry.
No, no. It's just, I think the word skeptic is being abused. I think that when people say, I'm skeptical, and then when you try to say, well, look at this. It's happening. Oh, no, it's not. I didn't see it. You're like going, then you're not skeptical. You're a boner is what you are.
Thanks. I'm glad that you brought the well-reasoned theological argument to
this. No, it's just, you know, a skeptic is a person who's open to the idea. They don't necessarily believe, but they don't necessarily don't believe. They're kind of like in the middle. They're kind of agnostic. They're kind of like, I don't know. You know, it's kind of weird. But people who say they're skeptical and turn around and say, that's not true. That's not true. That's idiotic. They've made their mind up. There's no way of convincing them otherwise.
You have the biggest hair I've ever seen today.
It's gone big today.
Your hair is like 7 inches off your head today.
Wow, it is pretty tall.
I washed it and it's just like, bah! I got to get a haircut. But anyway, but yeah, the whole thing.
Did the guy loosen up after a while?
I'm not saying he was a dick. I was just saying that we got in a little bit of an argument and about it. But he was cool and I was cool and I like people who know how to argue. I mean, it's something that I think is a sport. And I think people shouldn't take offense if you get in an argument.
Well, now when is this place with the Rose and Raindrop? Now when is it getting demolished?
It's not getting demolished.
They're turning into a bank.
They're
right?
going to turn it into something else. Yeah, I think they're going to turn it into a bank. The bank bought out the lease and they could not afford to top it. And I didn't know that. And that makes me sad because it's a great bar. But the minute that stuff started happening, it was haunted to begin with, but then all of a sudden the haunting started increasing. And I had talked with Tom before, the owner, and I said, Tom and John, talking to them both, and I said, you know, we ought to just come in and do an investigation. And so we opened Halloween up for people to show up and be a part of the seance that we did to see if there was anything there. And we managed to lock in female energy, child energy. We got EVP, which of course is electronic voice phenomena, the little boy going around going, where's my mommy? We're hearing a woman saying, my baby, my baby. In the seance, there was a thing that told us that if a window was to open, it would open on the 5th of November and it closed on the 11th. And on the 6th of November, there was an earthquake that hit Portland. It was 2.5, 2.7 on the Richter scale. And they reported, I don't know what the hell the news was trying to think or what they were doing, but they reported that the earthquake happened near the courthouse. Okay, it happened downtown. Not true. You go to the USGS, and it said that it happened. It gave the coordinates. We typed the coordinates into Google Maps or Google Earth. And it focused on two areas. There was this one area that was kind of a grassy area and this other grassy area. And we zoomed in on the grassy area. We saw these little dots in the grass. And we realized that it was the Lone Fir Cemetery. The earthquake happened at the Lone Fir, which is just down the street from the Rose and Raindrop. And so we were thinking, is there a connection? Maybe. Who knows? We went to the cemetery, did an investigation. We wound up at this grave where this black cat showed up and sat at the grave for the longest time. It was a creepy experience. Had this black cat sitting there, and it was the grave of this woman who gave birth to a child that died. And it said baby, and it had her, and we're like going, ooh, this is just too weird. So then the cat walks over to the Civil War Memorial and hangs out there for a while, and then walks over to this grave of this guy by the name of Benjamin Wistar Morris, who turns out to be this Episcopalian bishop who ran all of Portland and Washington for the longest time. We just, what the heck's all this about? We don't know. So we went back, we did some historical work, and found out that the woman did give birth to a child. The child died at childbirth of cerebral hemorrhage. And we didn't know if it was the same woman. So we did this seance and this investigation just the overnighter that we did. And when we had the seance, a little boy allegedly comes to the board. There's cards turning over, all kinds of weird stuff going on, by themselves, mind you. And we go there, we're doing the seance thing, and he starts naming names and naming dates and naming all these other things. We're thinking, okay, yeah, this is just something, you know, weird. The only thing that was off about the date he gave was he said that this one guy had died in 1921 when he died in 1925, and he mentioned the name Wilton. Now, that's a name that you've never heard before. I've never heard the word Wilton. He mentions the name Wilton, and sure enough, there is a guy, and I'm not going to give the last names because we're still doing the investigation. We want to seal the investigation until finally. But the guy's name was actually buried at the cemetery. He said a cemetery in Troutdale. And there was actually that guy buried there, and he says it is his real father, and that the guy who's allegedly the father on the tombstone is not his father.
Do you just stay at home underneath the covers twitching uncontrollably sometimes?
I've been having some really bad problems with this because
if you just look inside and just decide you're just going to stay at home with the lights off in a closet.
this thing actually upset a lot of people. I mean, we went last time. It was kind of scary because we had a demon get in and attack the women, which is really scary. This one saddened everybody. People were tearing up, and they were feeling really sad because they were feeling a whole lot of sad energy. And I know that a few people, I mean, if they want to call in and claim with it, I'm not going to point out names because there are people probably that don't want to be told. But there was one person who's very, you know, well-known with the Rick Emerson Show who was there who
Scott
cried.
Daly.
No, Scott Daly didn't cry.
Oh.
But who cried because she felt a lot of sadness there. There was another woman that was attacked by this demon that attacks women. And it's just some really scary stuff that
I don't think you're really selling this as a thing that you'd want to go to in the future,
well,
Clyde. I think that maybe
you're
not playing up the right elements of this for the
audience. So did you stay there all night?
Yes, we did.
Did you guys sleep at all?
No,
or
were you
attacked by a goblin?
You cannot sleep. You cannot sleep at all.
So it's still a working bar, so they just let you kind of
down
the bar?
The bar closed. We were up with everybody, and then the bar closed, and then we were there after everyone had left.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Shane from Shane, I'm drawing a blank here. From Bills.
Heffer,
from Bills.
Shane Walker.
Shane Walker.
Well, from Wild Bills.
Wild Bills, yes. He actually got a photo that we're going to use that's amazing of an entity flying above the bar, and it's this big, bright, it's kind of a lit triangle that's flying over the bar.
So you are. You're the Jessica Fletcher of the paranormal world. I was thinking about this the other day. No. I
watched Angela Lansbury's biography this weekend.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a mean crone of a woman.
No, she isn't. She had hard luck in love. She's married to a gay man.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Jessica, well, that makes sense.
Married to a gay man.
No, she was young when she was 19. She got married to a gay man.
Well, she was the Manchurian candidate, which I'll love her for that.
And Lawrence Harvey was older than she was, and she played his mother.
She never found success except for on a cable TV show after she tried for years. That's just a little sad.
Everybody loves Jessica Fletcher,
though. She was a Disney woman. She did Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
That's true. Here's the thing about Angela Lansbury, though. Do you ever watch that show and wonder why anybody would ever go anywhere with that woman? Seriously, I mean,
she cried.
Why didn't you come on a cruise with me? You know, sure, how could... And then you'd find the next, the guy
Father
the next
Dowling
day with an
a
axe in his head.
Was that on at the same time as that? Because I know that the guy who played her friend in that was in the Father Dowling mystery.
Tom Bosley. It's not a spinoff. It's just that old women love things about people being killed. This is... And you are already this way, even though you're only 26.
That was all allowed to watch. I was only allowed to watch Murder, She Wrote, Father Dowling Mysteries, and Matlock.
No, it's true, because my in-laws are the same
I'm
way.
Sorry.
When you are like 70 years old, I'm going to see you at the library with one of those baskets from the Safeway under your arm, and you're going to be getting 15 Agatha Christie novels and a Miss Marple magazine. Because
I
old
love
women,
Mary Higgins Clark.
Old women love things where people get killed. But I used to watch Murder, She Wrote, and I'm like, why in the name of sweet zombie Christ would you ever go on a cruise with Jessica Fletcher? Because you know that some guy's going to come and beat your face in with a mallet while you're asleep. So it is with Clyde.
Where's she? Cabot Cove.
I would never go anywhere with you. Well, we went there, and then a woman was...
Well, you've seen...
She was groped by, by the demon Thoth.
The scary thing about my friends and those who know me know that when they're out with me, sometimes weird things happen in my presence.
I'll pass.
It doesn't scare people. It kind of... They're like going, well, it's with Clyde. What do you expect, you know? And it's true. That's what happens. But
why would you go somewhere where you're going to be attacked by demons?
We weren't attacked by demons. That was an accident. It didn't mean to happen, and it happened. And
the demon was...
Like I said, there are people that witnessed it, that saw it, and they couldn't believe their eyes. I couldn't believe my eyes. And I don't consider myself the Jessica Fletcher of the paranormal world. I think we're kind of like forensic psychologists who, instead of going after the evidence that's left behind by death, we go after the remnants of what is left, and we have to do the genealogical research to find out if there's any truth to it. Because, I mean, if I'm sitting at a seance, and I'm playing with a Ouija board or doing something like that, and this stuff starts coming down, I actually feel like that I have to either get online and check it out, or check names and places if they all check out. And this is the first time in I don't know how long that we've had accuracy to just it's amazing how much accuracy we have.
Well, we gotta take a break here. Scotty J is calling you the Perez Hilton of the ghost world.
We'll
take a break. We'll come back. Tim Riley, we have a few people who are at the seance that we're calling it.
The seance investigation, yes.
Okay. We'll do those. Are we going to talk about this scale? People are calling and taunting me about my weight, by the way. We're going to talk about this scale. And Clyde is here. He can be an independent objective assessor here. We'll talk about that. What else do we have coming? Oh, we have this Moxie business coming up. More from Tim Riley. You say there's the Rick Emerson Show, AM 970. Solid State Radio. email says, I've got the podcast in front of me. Lisa Goddard did say that she was in trouble because of you, because Sporbert, one name only, had listened to some podcast and was unhappy about the poking of fun at his name. Also, she mentioned that he wanted to call in and clear the air, to which you responded, quote, Jason Sporbert can call in at any time, end quote, and offered to call him then if he was at home. I do remember that, by the way. I got the Pro Tools fired up, and I'll cut up the audio and send it to you later. All right, there you go. Let's see. Oh, and we got this on Friday, but I think it's too late for this now. Rick, the other day you were waxing on about PM Dawn and a few great songs they had. It did surprise me you liked any of their songs. See, it wasn't wasn't as surprising as seeing that they're playing here. Well, we already missed it. It was on Friday. Apparently, PM Dawn was here. They were at Holocene on Friday. And we'll go to the Ministry of Truth in like 10 seconds. So often, though, you can identify where something came from just by the tone that it's written in. Sarah, please now to be identifying the publication that this review came from. Is it possible to preview PM Dawn's upcoming show without a mocking remember the early 90s bit? Ha ha. Remember Hammer Pants? Remember that thing in Gorbachev's head? Ha ha ha. As it turns out, PM Dawn is still touring the country on their hit track Set Adrift on Memory Bliss and I'd Die Without You, according to their website, along with help from, quote, the new hits. In this instance, it appears that hits is a relative term. PM Dawn is not about punctuality or facts. They're about pubescent makeout songs and always have been. Sarah Dillon.
The Mercury.
There you go. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it is Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Get used to saying President Brownback.
I'm sorry?
Senior senator from the state of Kansas.
I don't think you can say that on the air, Tim.
First step running for the president of the United States. Republican Senator Sam Brownback.
I believe the CBS manual on ethnic tolerance and diversity forbids the use of such phrases.
You're thinking of Brokeback. He's filed paperwork with the Federal Election Commission to establish a presidential exploratory committee. In a written statement, the senator says he's decided to run after prayerful consideration, adding, there's a real need in this country to rebuild the family and renew our culture.
He's from Canada?
Kansas.
Oh, I thought you said he was from Canada.
No, from Canada cannot run for president.
That's what I was going to... Well, nobody... Okay, it didn't make any sense at all.
No.
So he's from Kansas.
Kansas.
His name is Brownback.
Yes.
Okay, is this a white man?
I believe so,
well,
yes.
He's from Kansas, of course.
How could he not be a white man in Kansas?
He's talking about the need to renew our family values and to return to a nation of faith. Of course he's a white man from Kansas. And nobody named Brownback will ever be president. It's just like Dan Savage ensured that no one named Santorum would ever retain his office, by the way. So never underestimate the power of attaching something unpleasant to somebody's name. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, after a meeting with a top Shiite leader, President Bush has stressed the importance of building a secure unity government in Iraq. Like that's going to happen. He said he's not satisfied with the pace of progress, but insisted the U.S. will keep troops until mutual objectives are achieved.
Which is a free country that can govern itself, sustain itself, and defend itself. A free country which will serve as an ally in the war against the extremists and radicals and terrorists.
It's that terrorist part right there where he sounds just like the Onion guy. And you can tell what he's doing there. He's sort of a refrigerator magnet, poetry, the kind of... where he doesn't really know what he's talking about, so he's just reaching into a mental grab bag and pulling out some ready-made phrases.
Which is a free country that can govern itself, sustain itself, and defend itself. A free country which will serve as an ally in the war against the extremists and radicals and terrorists.
Okay.
Well, that was the last flip card in the box.
Let's just go back to the beginning again. Here's Tim Riley.
The president said his meeting today with Iraq Shiite leader Abdul Aziz Ahankam was productive.
We talked about the need to give the government of Iraq more capability as quickly as possible so that the elected government of Iraq can do that which the Iraqi people want, which is to secure their country from the extremists and murderers.
Okay.
Al-Hakam says everyone needs to stay on the same page.
The U.S. interests, the Iraqi interests, the regional interests, they are all linked. Therefore, it is very important when we deal with this issue, we look at the interests of the Iraqi people. If we don't, this whole issue could backfire and could harm the interests of the region, the United States, and Iraq as well.
Hello.
Everyone has gone home to write new memos.
It wasn't me.
Well, to me.
I have no... Sarah, did you make that noise?
No, my computer isn't hooked to the board.
The U.S. interest, the Iraqi interest, the regional interest, they are all linked. Therefore, it is very important when we deal with this issue, we look at the interests of the Iraqi people. If we don't, this whole issue could backfire and could harm the interests of the region, the United States, and Iraq as well.
Is that sort of a, your time is up. Please not to be exiting the stage before the orchestra plays you off. I guess they don't use the red light anymore to indicate that you've gone over time. Fantastic. All right.
Gwyneth Paltrow has triggered a furious backlash in the U.S. after branding Americans uncivilized and dull.
Doesn't she always look underfed, like she needs to get a little bit of sunlight?
She does.
Every time you see that girl, it just looks like she's gone all anemic and pale on you.
Yeah, she's not pretty.
No, she's not pretty at all. The American-born actress married to Brit rocker Chris Martin says, I don't fit in the bad side of American psychology. Brits are much more intelligent and civilized than Americans.
Put a sock in it.
Her comment has sparked an angry phone call to a talk show where the caller says, she sounds like she thinks she's better than us. She should stay across the Atlantic. We don't need her.
Well,
she said, I love the English lifestyle. They're not as capitalistic as Americans. They talk about interesting things at dinner, not about work and money. She's claiming to have Madonna as a neighbor, and that's another advantage, she said.
The thing about Gwyneth Paltrow is she looks like she doesn't have any bones in her body. She looks like she's just sort of held together with little bits of string inside. She kind of looks like a... It's not like a veal cutlet that's maybe been a little overcooked. Like, she doesn't really have much... I don't think there's much tensile strength in any of her limbs. So she's sort of held together with rags and sawdust inside.
Here's Tim Riley. The veal cutlet is performing in her latest movie, Running with Tweezers. Running with Scissors. Okay. It's out in Britain.
Right.
Meanwhile, to Florida we go for this story.
Bum, 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 bum.
Oh, that is so pathetic.
Shh, shut your mouth.
The Orange County Health Department and local wildlife center are releasing owls to reduce the mouse infestation problem.
What could possibly go wrong?
Apparently, there are mice everywhere, and owls have been pressed into service. Authorities began to log the complaints of mice on the map.
The complaints of mice.
Mm-hmm. Hello, I have a walk. Can I... Okay, well... How long has it been that way? Well, have somebody right over.
I can't beat that. We'll be back in a little while.
This joke is just for Jen Album, by the way.
Your brain. We want to buy it off you.
There you go. That's it's a little mouse joke just for Aaron's wife. All right. We're going to go out on that tag, ladies and gentlemen. Bam. All right, there's Tim Riley. Hey, is that your new MySpace pic?
Yeah.
That's a fantastic photo.
Thank you.
You look really great there.
I did some modelly stuff this weekend.
Let's welcome back to the... Thank you. Our good friend Clyde Lewis. Hello, sir.
Hi.
Well, that was just refreshing everyone.
Hey, do we have a scale? Before we do anything else here, we got to get the... thank you, Scotty. Yeah, that mouse joke, I really should know.
This joke, copyright 2006, Rick Emerson Show.
Thank you. Do we have the scale?
I don't know. I don't see the scale.
Scotty, where did the scale go? Oh, it's behind the chair. Thank you, sir. All right.
You don't weigh yourself?
No. Well, people know. I weighed myself. Thank you. I found it.
Okay.
Because people have been sending me taunting emails about this. Let me ask you this, Clyde. In your estimation, based upon your knowledge of, the human body and so forth,
right.
And your ocular skills.
Right.
If I was to ask you to guess my weight to within 5 pounds, what would you guess that I weigh? I will turn now for you.
172.
172. That's what I'm saying. Sarah, what was your guess? 171?
Yeah, I was saying 171.
171. Would you believe that this scale puts me... Let me weigh again today and find out. Here's the thing, just as a backup. Here's the thing. I am taking December off from all activities of exercise and all healthy eating.
You don't want to do that.
No, I...
Because I remember when you used to look like that.
You're like the voice of doom.
You don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that.
I was worried about you there for a while when you did that before.
I wasn't. I was just. I had to.
I was porking out at about 380 pounds. But I mean, in the meantime.
In the meantime, what, you dick?
I was thinking you were getting near me, and it was kind of scary.
You wouldn't. And nope. Okay, that's a drastic.
I'm not anywhere near 380 now. But I'm just saying.
At no point was.
When I was 420, right? That was huge.
Oh, I was going a different way with that joke. yes, Clyde, I do remember when you were 420.
Drug humor.
Here's the thing. I try to eat relatively well.
Right.
I often fail.
Yes.
It is human to fail. As Sarah has noted, the frequency with which I exercise has slowly been degrading. And I feel like what it is, I need to get, it's like a vacation. I've lacked the willpower to exercise a lot recently, so I'm going to take a little vacation.
Right.
For the month of December, I'm going to sit around, not exercise, and eat badly.
You're going to bleed from your eyes.
I'm going to sit around and bleed from the eyes.
Oh.
What are you doing?
Oh, it hurts.
That's just a goblin.
I just imagine you bleeding from the eyes.
That's a phrase you don't hear too often. It's like Tippi Hedren's uncle. Anywho.
The eye poked out by the bird.
Oh. So I'm taking December off. So all through December, I'm just going to eat badly and never exercise.
Okay.
And so, but the deal is we're going to do a contest where the listeners they're going to place bets on where my weight, and we're going to weigh me on January 1st.
Okay.
The January 1st, I'm going to take my weight again and see how much weight I gained. And just the Price is Right style, the person who has guessed the closest to my final weight without going over wins some sort of the prize. But we had to determine my starting weight. This scale claimed. Well, let me stand on it again today. We'll see if it's the same. Because we did a weigh-in on Friday. Oh, it's gone up. Damn.
Can I say it?
Yeah.
184.4.
Wow.
See, but that's crap.
But what did
There's
you eat
no
this
way.
Weekend? Did you eat a lot of little pizza?
Well, let's do a little test. Clyde, I hung out in Utah County this weekend. I was in Provo. Where do we go to dinner?
Chuck-a-rama.
Yeah, baby. Chuck-a-rama. Western-style smorgasbord. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Knew that.
I have a picture of my cell phone. Just endless pieces of like cornbread and ham.
Yeah, Chuck-a-rama is huge. I mean, it's a temple to food. I mean, I went there when I go to Christmas time. Remember Chuck-a-rama used to be like modestly built restaurant?
Yeah.
Now
it's
like
expansive and
three
fast.
Or four blocks of food.
And this is the one in Orem, so I mean, it's just it's huge.
It's like
massive.
Church. It's like the Church of Eat.
The Church of Stone.
The Church of Eat.
No, it is. It, you're right, but it's just a shrine to starch. And everything.
Church of pork. Pig out at the Church of Pork.
And of course, and the thing is, when you go to a place like Chuck-a-rama or any. See, do they have a Chuck-a-rama here,
no.
Sarah, or anything like that?
No. I've never even heard of
they
that.
They have Hometown
Buffet. But you know what I'm talking
they
about. It's a smorgasbord.
Well, there used to be the Golden Corral.
Is that the same thing? And there's
you
the guy
that?
With
all you can eat steak. I used to work for Golden Corral.
And there's the guy with the cream of wheat hat going. Would you like ham?
Doesn't Izzy's have a buffet too?
They have a Brazilian place over here in town where you can eat all the meat you want.
It's like a bowl of meat.
It's like a real bowl of meat.
Now, Izzy's is different though. Izzy's is like a pizza buffet.
It's better than that. It's now got cedar roasted salmon, I guess.
I don't understand the desire to roast things over pieces of wood.
I don't get it either.
Why would you want a food that tastes of wood?
I don't know. I just want my salmon.
Do you have anything that tastes of tree?
Wood. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
I want it to taste like honey smoked wood.
So we went to the Chuck-a-rama.
Wood?
And the thing is, when you go to a place like Chuck-a-rama, or like a Chuck Wagon or any smorgasbord, it costs so much. It's like, yeah, in Kennewick, it's called a smorgie. Mm-hmm. In Kennewick, the place is Roy's Western Smorgie. And I can tell you, eating at a place called a smorgie, you can feel your brain getting soft and your IQ flaking away into double digits when you're sitting there.
That's right.
And the thing about going to a place like that is those smorgasbords have always got like a $12 flat fee when you go in there, right? It's never like $3. You go to eat at a Chuck Wagon, it's like $11.99.
Right.
And that's lunch. You go there for dinner and it's like $12.99. And so you feel compelled. You know, it's like when you buy one of those pill shavers for your sweater. You got to use it like 100 times because then each shaving only costs you a dime.
Right.
You go to a Chuck Wagon, you have to eat like 55 pieces of fried chicken and a pound of ham to make it feel
to
like
it,
you're getting
your
money
worth. Yeah.
So I can't, you know, and I. Let me just tell you this, and I forgot to bring it in today. There's the most fantastic device they're selling in one of those. Utahns are big on mail order things. Utahns love to buy things out of mail order catalogs.
Mm-hmm. Finger hut.
I forget what it is that they're
Three
selling.
Three ex-wives, each finger hut fiends. You've heard of IKEA? This is finger hut fiends. Yes, it's called finger hut. What happened there?
Sounds like my microphone's all poppy.
I thought a finger hut is what you did on like the second date.
Yeah, finger hut is an unpleasant phrase.
Seriously.
It's called Finger Hut.
Never mind.
The Finger Hut is going to be our spin-off from Soul to Soul, Pleasure by the Foot. Clubfoot. Have you heard about Clubfoot?
No.
Okay, we'll talk. You've got a lot of catching up to do. No, they sell this thing. There's a mail order catalog that my in-laws had. And they sell this thing that I swear to God is a pant expander. And it's sort of when you're like, your ass becomes too huge to fit inside your big khakis. And it's a thing that you put inside your pants and it braces them out. It's like a shoe expander. And you put it inside your pants and then you step on a pump and it goes and expands the pants. And then if you still can't fit yourself into the pants, they sell this like button extender.
Yeah.
And it's, see, why do you even know what it is?
I've seen that.
A thing, you, one end hooks inside the button and the other end hooks, and it's so...
They do it for collars, too. If your collar gets too fat, your neck gets too thick, you look like a real dorn.
And it's
the
thing
idiot.
That allows you to artificially expand the waistline on your pants, and they sell it with the following tagline. They sell it with the tagline, have some more pie, it says in big letters, right above the button expander. Anyway, so I ate a whole bunch this weekend. The scale claims that I'm 184 pounds.
Yes.
Which is, there's no way, which is completely...
Look, you just got off Thanksgiving. Get over it. You're fat now.
There's no way that I weigh 184 pounds.
I gained 15 pounds over the holidays.
Do you know how much you weigh?
Yes.
I defy you to stand on the scale.
No.
Well, you don't have to...
You said because we need to figure out if it's off
or not. Okay, here's what I need. Well, then here's what I need, Clyde. Right. I need an object of a given weight. An object of a fixed known weight.
Oh, I don't know.
What do we have here?
I don't know. I mean, I could weigh
like
myself.
A bottle of,
I know roughly about how much I weigh.
There's a full bottle of soda, like a 16-ounce.
But we wouldn't know how much. But that's liquid ounces, though. That's not a pound. Isn't that different? Those are different ounces, aren't they? I need something...
Actually, it's right on.
It's not right. I don't weigh 184 pounds.
It is right on because last time I weighed myself, it says, well, this says I weighed less than what I weighed myself about 3 days ago.
Unless my pants are filled with gold.
So that means I have lost 15 pounds, I've lost 10 pounds since the holidays because I've been eating better. So.
This is so like you. Only you could turn my dissertation into how the scale is off to you talking about how much weight you've lost.
It's on because I weighed myself.
I don't weigh 185.
Last Friday, and I've already lost 10 pounds, so
Scotty,
I'm doing well.
Scotty,
I'm
what
not
we,
eating
Scotty, what do we have? What do we have that's a known, that's a fixed weight, an object of a known weight that we can put on here? I just need something that we know the weight of.
Why don't you just grab a pound of hamburger?
Because I don't... Okay, I just... Okay, well, you... let me know.
How much is a Henway? I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Because if it says I'm weighing 185 pounds, which is clearly... I mean, I'm not saying I'm a thin... I'm not saying I'm in tip-top shape. I'm saying that there's no... Because all of their guesses, we canvassed people as to what they thought I weighed.
Liquids.
And they were all...
Yeah, well, there's the full bottle of...
Net weight. No, they didn't.
No, but it doesn't. But the liquids don't say the weight, though. They just say,
they do the both, don't they?
But liquid ounces aren't the same as, like, 16 ounces in a pound. Those aren't, like, pound ounces, are they?
They say net weight and net ounces. No, yes, yes, no.
Does it say the weight?
24 ounces.
But that's not weight, though.
No, that's not weight.
That's a volume, isn't it?
That's fluid volume, yeah.
We'll just stick it on there.
Okay.
It doesn't make sense.
But no one knows how much.
We can't figure it out.
It does not even tip the scale, so...
No, it's not even enough to weigh it. So
if it weighs the same as a Coke bottle, it means... Never mind.
So we would need...
So we need something that stretches apart up across the 2 feet.
We need something that...
Something that floats.
Like if we had a...
A duck.
You're not helping.
Sorry.
So we need something, like if we had, like a... Like something that we knew weighed 5 pounds.
Yeah.
Or something. All right, well, Scotty, we'll look at
haters.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back with Tim Riley. You're in a wacky mood today.
I'm just having fun.
We've
got people to talk about my seance, too. They've been
waiting
patiently.
That's right.
Look at
that. Well,
stop ignoring them, Rick.
Scott Daly just sitting there stinking of urine. No, that's...
We got to talk to them because I want them to back me up so I don't sound so corny.
It's not corny that you sound. It's crazy.
I'm not crazy.
Okay.
Besides, being crazy is kind of fun.
All right.
Get some chicks.
And the goblins.
And the goblins.
Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.